evening, gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2020, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
And Mr. Broman?
He's absent.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Public comment at, we'll open that at
7:04
on agenda items only. Steve, Mike, we'll close the public portion of the agenda items at 7:04. Come to approval of minutes, the regular minutes of February 10th, 2020. Do I have a...
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Couldn't think that word for a minute.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
And the second item is closed meeting minutes from February 10th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. Come to correspondence. We have none. Resolutions. Resolution 20-39, payment of bills, February 24th, 2020.
For 2039.
Second?
A second.
Discussion?
I just wanted to mention that we have a lot of engineering bills on payment list and also a lot more coming up. We have four projects and a lot of things going on regarding the water tower, et cetera. And I just wanted to remind the council not to initiate a bill without council authorization. It may seem innocent enough, but when we contact Carmella or any of our professionals, it can generate a bill. Unless they're at a flat rate, so just be careful when we, because we're running up a lot of costs, and we will be running up a lot of costs. So
yeah, it seems innocent sure enough to just make a call, but if it generates a bill, it really has to have approval from either council or myself or Anna.
The other thing I wanted to point out on the bills list is Gluck Walrath, our bond counsel. We have a bond anticipation note that we paid $1,100 for her to work on and review. That was for a lot of water, sewer, utility work that we put into that ban. That's a short-term financial instrument, but it's at 1.45%. I think that's a really good rate. So I'm glad we're borrowing money at a good rate.
we are getting work done again, but we're generating
some costs here.
On a question, what if Carmella calls one of us?
Well
you're not initiating. She can't initiate work. So
I know.
Yeah, but we can.
That was the water tower thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
There were real questions that we
sure
to answer here.
Yeah, but generally she would put that to the mayor and council or.
Okay, somebody's microphone is going to go. We need to. It's going to have red. It'll be a red LED.
Well, I just anticipate that we are going to have a lot of questions and a lot of things that we need to talk to her about. But so we just need to be wise and make sure we
rest in our time.
Yeah.
Well, it's just exactly. An individual can't contact one of our professionals in a manner that will generate a bill. So that has to go for approval.
Sorry.
Good job.
Was that the mic?
No. But when you hear that popping, that means that one of them is starting to lose the batteries.
Okay, that's all I had to say on the bills. We have a motion and a second.
Yeah, to roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essaquah?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 20-40, resolution to amend Resolution 20-26, appointment of a representative and alternate representative to the Monmouth County Community Development Block Grant, CDBG. So we had some shuffling around of that. This is the new resolution?
Both made. You don't need them. You need a vote for that, the resolution?
Yes, yeah. I have to send that to them.
All right.
Do you need any changes?
All right. I'll make that motion.
Second?
A second.
Since I'm copying out.
I thought that's why you were doing it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essaquah?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yeah, I guess I could say yes, even though I'm the person. There's no financial incentive there.
Okay. Resolution 20-41, authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to perform engineering work for drainage and parking lot improvements to the Borough Hall parking lot. Have a motion?
Yes, you have.
I'll second.
Discussion?
Okay. Yes. Question?
Yes.
I like what they're going to do. Is that going to get packaged into one of the bonds? Or
On this?
Yeah. According to the certification, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Bond ordinance 19-03?
Yep.
So it goes on.
And the budgeting operating expenses under engineer.
Right.
We're on 2041, right? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Will the widening of the opening be included?
Yep.
Yeah, that's incorporated into this.
Yeah.
It'll give us about one more foot wide and about 3 feet buffer beyond that. So on election night and other times when people are coming in and pulling out at the same time, they won't whack into each other.
Well, that's
only one foot.
That's the whole.
It's only one foot.
I don't know if you guys do you guys read the correspondence with the engineer on that?
At the entrance. Yeah.
Did you guys get it on the permitting?
Say again.
So I think someone has to make it 3 feet. I'm not sure where it came from. Who did?
Well, the 3 feet is on the parking lot side.
So the engineer can't do that. Because you need a wetlands permit to do that.
They're going to go for it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all incorporated in the cost.
We asked her, and she said that generally they approve.
Most driveways like this, the standard is 24 feet to allow access both ways. Ours is 23. We don't want to run into any liability issues if somebody, you know, impacts another car.
Do we want it just that narrow, or do we want to put another couple while we're doing it? Make it a little wider than that?
Because it does seem narrow.
If we have the space.
Yeah.
You know, when you pull in, it's like, and 1 foot. I know,
it's so small.
But there's going to be 3 more feet of buffer beyond.
Yeah, that's the good part. It's
off
right
to that side, too.
So
it'll look like it's more.
Just sort of at the lawn, which is nothing but wetlands and mud and gunk and gross. So this way,
I saw an alligator.
Will provide a
what? An alligator.
Sure, there wasn't a white deer.
The white deer. The white deer. You know, professional.
Yeah, but as Greg said, there are wetland permits that we need. There's a bunch of different things that we need to do to do this.
That was included on the estimate that she sent us.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So, I mean, did anyone want to ask for more than a foot? I didn't think it was possible. Or I don't know how much more that would cost.
Well, that'll encroach more into the wetlands, and that might be more of a problem.
Right.
The 1 foot she didn't think would be a problem there, so yeah.
And you're adding more impervious surface too.
Exactly, that's what it is.
Be careful with that.
They were also going to put, the concrete
stoppers.
Stoppers.
That's what I said, the barriers, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to put the barriers there too, so yeah.
That'll be fruitful.
I suggested, and I don't know whether they're going to do it or not, is the right at the wall, the new wall that we have right in the front there. Greg put stripes there so nobody would park too close to the wall.
Right.
If that could be the handicapped area parking lot.
I think so, Joe, because the reason that we put the white stripes there and don't want anyone to park there, the wall is sort of at a bit of an odd angle. You can't see it to look at it. Yeah. Everyone was scraping their car.
Yeah, but this way, if the the ramp for the handicap would be there, and then the parking spot for the handicap would be the next parking space. I'd have to show you, but you understand what I'm... And
no,
also
I understand
the lip,
what you're saying.
The lip there on that wall is 2 or 3 inches out, so that's another reason that people scrape their doors. But people wouldn't be able to park there if they'd be able to unload the wheelchairs there, per se, you know. So, yeah. Well, it's a thought. I ran it past them, and they haven't gotten back on that. So, okay. Yeah. And they called me. I didn't call them.
Keep that in mind.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, the wetlands permit, I think, will take about 3 months. They usually take a little while.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
With our letter.
Yeah, related. I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Resolution 20-42, support for responsible pet ownership programs in the borough of Roosevelt. Mrs.
I'll make that motion.
I think from the environment.
Yeah, I was
commission.
Just going to read that. That's come from the recommendation from the Environmental Commission. I mean, I think it's self-explanatory, but
right.
Do you want to explain
it? The point is that this is one of the various things we can do to get points for this sustainable jersey. We get enough points, we get qualified for it, we can apply for different grants. And this is one of the activities that by passing this resolution, you can get about 5 points or something. So we're looking for these things that are fairly easy to do.
Right.
And that's one of
them. They all add up. Did I get a second?
No, we didn't get
first?
A motion. Oh, yeah.
You gave me a motion.
Mr. Escobar was first.
If you don't hear, what's just laid on me. That's all right.
I didn't even hear either one.
Thanks for stepping up, Lee.
Yeah, good boy.
I'm trying to be very coy tonight.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Escobar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
Finally, Resolution 20-43, which is authorizing the issuance of a RAFA license for the PTA Roosevelt School, RA 20-01. Is this for their annual, I think, the winter carnival spring carnival. It's kind of
March 28th,
2020.
Well, that's spring officially, so whatever, they're having a carnival. Mm-hmm. I think they ask us for this every year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Escobar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Tremack?
Yes.
Okay, we come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Bowen.
Well, Greg DePoe's been doing a lot of electrical work.
That's what we wonder. it's different lighting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The rest of the lights usually really bother me, but these are okay.
Yeah.
They bother
yeah.
me too.
The color spectrum's better with these.
Yeah.
It's a newer kind of bulb. That's why.
They're LEDs.
LEDs.
Yeah.
Yes, they're making them differently now.
They're very bright, though.
I like them.
Okay.
Yeah, you're putting light on the subject.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's also doing a lot of work with computer wires and security and all kinds of electrical stuff. Mm-hmm. The other Greg is working over at the water plant for
that's what John noted that he needed over there, I guess.
Yeah. So that's moving along, which is good.
Nice.
That's all. Oh, and the solar-powered sun.
Where's that? Which one? That's the one.
The one out end of
New York 571.
Yeah, they drive. I saw that. They have the solar panel.
Yeah.
Are we going to do that to this one here? The local one?
I think we were waiting because possibly we can ask when they do the parking lot work, we might see if they can run electricity as a conduit to them that can actually be. We don't have to rely on the sun or batteries.
There's right. not enough sun there for. Solar panel over there, I don't think.
Okay, that would be my guess. Yeah. But so, yeah, we're going to ask. If
oh, okay. That's fair enough.
There's a lot of shade over there.
Half the time it's not working.
I know.
Yeah.
More than half. Okay.
Councilmember Esikoff.
Yes. We're administering and doing it very well, thank you. Thanks to our ladies, of course. I have a very high regard for them, I must tell you. Because sometimes when I speak with Anna after I've spoken to McCullough, she says, somebody came in and they had a complaint and they were screaming at her and threatening her, actually. And I said, what do you do? He says, I just sit and listen. I said, they're lucky because it was me. I would have been in jail for killing them.
Actually, she smiles and
yes.
disarms them.
Yeah, she tells me about these things. She said, why do you don't have to take this kind of nonsense. That's uncalled for. You know, only I could do that to you. Anyway, the long and short of it is that she's got a long fuse.
Well, anyway, as a therapist,
okay.
we call
the
it de-escalation.
Yes,
and she does that very well.
Yes, she really does. I'm telling you, she really does.
She smiles and nods.
for what it's worth, I just found out yesterday that the left turn signal at Butcher Road and Route 33 is working, finally. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make a left turn, you're not taking your life in your hands.
Really?
I saw that the other day.
Yeah.
They took all the plastic bags off the
Yes, left. And they're working.
Yeah, okay.
Irma bet that it was going to be another 6 months.
Anyway,
okay. I have a couple more things.
Oh.
They may not be my committee, but also I'm really very adamant about the waste systems from the house to the main sewer line. And I am ultimately opposed to anything that will say it's not that the homeowner is not responsible right from the house to the main line. The what do you call that? The
lateral.
The lateral. The lateral is absolutely belongs to them. The responsibility for it belongs to them. So I warn you in advance that I will filibuster.
You mean belongs to the homeowner?
The homeowner, yes.
I'll bring that up for discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I step on your
just
toes?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit, yeah.
I do have it under new business.
Oh.
Possibly.
Did not know.
Reimbursement policy and procedures for sewage blocking.
We have to, We
have
to.
Do
you have to write something up.
Yes. We're going to, are we going to discuss the all our construction projects?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have four of them here, I see.
Yep.
So whose bailiwick is this?
Well, I think I'm going to cover some of it because it's finance, and I think Joe will probably cover it, too.
Oh, good enough.
So we'll get double coverage.
All right. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I think we have to move on these things in a very timely manner. Okay.
Thanks, Lou. Councilmember Dermody, Community Development
Coordinator. Yeah, nothing new for me besides the bulletin board being done. In addition to the roof, we've prepared any old wood and stained the whole thing, so it should last quite a while.
It looks great.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of comments about it, all positive and.
I didn't realize the old one had been knocked down.
It goes out of the house. I don't.
Somebody told me.
It was torched. Yeah.
I must have been out of town then.
Yeah, you probably still cool.
Figures out a suspect.
I just didn't. I didn't know that was the case, and somebody told me while I was building it.
March 17, you were exposed.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, every time I stop by the post office and I'm over by the bulletin board, people stop in and no more complaining, all just...
Yeah, that's right.
And I think people will resume using it because it's kind of falling away a little bit because it's such a mess.
Yeah. It looks great and it works.
It's our best method of communication.
I know. All right, that's all for me.
Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Well, there's a lot of financial stuff going on. We're spending a lot of money and we're anticipating spending a lot of money. And the report. Only kidding. Yeah. Well, you should have in your packet or should have received a letter dated February 11 from Roberts Engineering. Oh, this is good. Thank you. All right. And regarding possible cost savings if we combine the Farm Lane and School Lane projects. And she ran through the specifically, if you look at that letter, I don't know if you have it. Was there a copy in the
Which letter is it? February 11th.
It's dated.
Oh, I gave it to Greg.
Yeah, it's dated. It's dated February 11th. And I'll just sum it up because there's a lot of numbers and it can be confusing. But.
Mike, do you want to hold up?
Yeah, I'll hold up on that.
What a guy.
All right, well, since that's on hold, I'm going to go through another thing that's come up, and that's regarding the water tower.
Yes.
And I'm going to pass out an engineering report from AT&T, a structural engineering diagram of the water tower and proposed modifications that they want to put on the water tower. There's been an ongoing thing with AT&T. They're upgrading their units at the top of the water tower. They have some weight. They have some wind resistance. There's all kinds of issues there, and they did a structural analysis, and they came up with some proposed modifications. Their engineer did, and if you look at I'm calling the legs to the water tower, you can see those X braces that they want to put those in and brace the water tower with struts and what would you call them? Just cross bracing.
Trusses. Now, Mike, I'm not positive that I really see what they put on here or whether this is an old map.
It's not old. This is theirs.
Well, if you look at the legend down here, it's hard to read, but I think this is from 1935. This is the original drawing of the water tower, and they might have penciled in what they wanted to do on it. I've read one of their engineering reports, and we'd spoken about this, but their engineering reports were talking about doing stuff to it. That's what Carmela's question is. What exactly are you going to do? What kind of weight are you going to put on it? What kind of structural changes do you have to do to the water tower to put that weight on it? AT&T has been very elusive about what they're going to do here. They're being very pushy also about what they want to do here. We need it now. We need it yesterday. We need it the day before yesterday. In the meantime, AT&T came here and broke into the water tower and started to put stuff into. They were starting to build.
That was in the fall, right?
That was in the fall last year. And so Carmela got involved, and they want to make sure that what AT&T does, a structural engineer should be involved with.
Right.
So this, I don't think, is their answer to that. There was some structural engineering that AT&T told us about in a very lengthy letter from them that Carmela has. It's probably 20 pages or so.
Well,
but it doesn't really specify exactly what they're going to do.
Well, that's the nature of the problem. I think Joe and I both had conversations with Carmela today about the proposed modifications that AT&T wants to do. And we don't necessarily want to trust their engineer because
exactly.
They have a motivation.
Right. Yes.
They want to put this equipment up.
Yes.
They probably want to do it at the least possible cost.
And it's about the future also. It's 5G and all of that.
Carmela has great concerns about the weight.
Exactly.
Not to contact us.
Absolutely.
Right.
The weight, what equipment, also what the footprint physically on the water tower will be, because we have other considerations there. So I think, and I think Carmela suggested this, that we hire a good structural engineer. I don't know that she has one in
her
company.
She came up, and I'll be covering that, she came up with two recommendations and texted me. Two recommendations for structural engineers that she's worked with. And she says they're good. We don't have a cost for their review yet, but I'd like to see us.
Are you billing us for this service?
No, you're paying.
I'll wait until she sends it out.
Thank you.
Essentially, Carmela is recommending we get our own independent structural engineer to do an evaluation. And I think it's crucial because AT&T wants to modify their equipment, And we have a new carrier who's going to be putting equipment up there too, and that's T-Mobile, who's paying us already, even though they don't have their equipment up there. And our tower needs to be able structurally to support both AT&T and T-Mobile's equipment.
Right.
And so we need an analysis, and we need the structural engineer to work with both of those carriers to make sure that any reinforcement that's needed is done properly to support for both of the carriers. Also, we talked about the possibility of the cost involved in our structural analysis from our structural engineer. Perhaps we might want to allocate the cost to both carriers, too. I don't know how our ordinance reads, but that, Greg, I think we should review our ordinance for telecommunications.
Right.
I know we have one from...
Well, we have leases with them.
Okay.
So our relationship with the carriers and what we can make them pay for is governed by the lease.
Okay.
I know from when I did T-Mobile's that it says that they have to come make sure it's structurally sound. So in this case... Forgive me because I was in the other room. This is they requested the equipment change.
AT&T, right, not T-Mobile.
But they haven't told us.
I meant the carrier requested the equipment change.
AT&T requested.
It's not our idea.
No.
Right, exactly.
So I mean, but for their change, then we wouldn't have to structurally reinforce the tower. So
right.
I don't know about soft costs like that.
Right.
Okay. Because I know that they are. I've been copied on a lot of the correspondence between the engineer and them.
Okay.
And so it doesn't appear that they really think it's a problem.
Carmella thinks it's a serious problem.
Yeah, but I mean, the lessee doesn't, the tenant doesn't.
Yeah,
right. Sure. However, when we have a... T-Mobile scouted this last summer, I think. So if AT&T makes physical changes that would be counter to what T-Mobile scouted, and their engineers are probably saying, we'll put our antennas here and our repeaters there. So if AT&T encroaches upon other spaces in the tower, it would be a problem for our contract with T-Mobile, I believe. So.
Well, yeah, but they all have co-location terms in their contracts. They can't do that. Can't interfere. They can't be in each other's way.
We want to be positive of that, and whatever structural changes they make, if they put additional weight up there, would that be a problem for T-Mobile putting weight up there also? So if we had a structural engineer to kind of referee this and they could split the cost, I think that would be in order, to tell you the truth. You know, so
yeah, that'd be great. I'm just telling you that I don't think that I can guarantee that that happens. I have to go back to the lease. But they're saying that it's no problem. We're just going to throw the stuff up there.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what started this already. I think someone called the cops on them. They're in there. And
they came and they opened the gate and just went in and started.
They broke into the gate, didn't they?
They broke into the gate. The gate was locked. They broke in and they unscrewed the hinges for the door that the gate was locked on. And they removed the door sideways. And then they could get in and they unloaded equipment in there. There was a full crew of maybe 12 people there.
Wow.
They were ready to go.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. So we kicked them out. And since then, they have been pressing the issue of we got to get up there and do this. So that was 6 months ago.
Are they still doing it? Are they still?
Well, they're basically locked out now. So until we agree as to terms and conditions, they're locked out. You know.
So
they can't make any changes up there until the council approves it.
So here's why.
But back to the issue of the engineering costs. So I understand. I think the structural engineer is a great idea.
Right.
We don't want the water tower to fall down.
Right.
Carmella seems very concerned about it. People just going up there and throwing stuff up there. She knows what T-Mobile wanted to put up there. We had specs for that.
Right.
AT&T's been wishy-washy. Like, I understand all that.
Yeah.
You asked me, it'd be great if they just split the cost.
Of the structural engineer.
Right, I know. You just threw there and there at the end. I'm telling you, I agree it'd be great.
Right.
I'm not sure that I can make that happen because their position is they can just put the equipment up there as part of their lease. Part of their lease says we can update our equipment. We can have access to the tower. They're going under that part of the lease.
With the borough council saying that it's okay. That's part of the lease also. We can go up and do all these changes with permission from the borough council. That's in their contract.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll take a look at it, and I'll let you guys know next time.
Okay.
But don't you think that even...
What did you say? The lease says that?
They're
contract for AT&T says that they can do changes up there with permission from the borough
approval
council.
Approval from us.
Yes.
Oh, so we're we should be.
Well, that's why we're involved.
Given, given the situation that the carriers won't pay or not going to be obligated to pay
that's
a structural
different.
Engineer,
that's
it's still
different.
Imperative for us to hire one.
Yeah, that and that's why I'm reporting on this under
finance. I agree with that.
That's why I'm reporting on this under finance. She recommends two possibility of one or the other group, structural engineering groups, French and Ferrello, or Tank Industry Consultants. She sent a copy of AT&T's structural report to both of them, and they're going to review the information that we have so far and get back to Carmella with recommendations and costs to do a complete structural analysis. So we'll have costs from both of those vendors. We can take a look at it, and then we'll know better what the cost is going to be.
I don't think it's going to be really cheap. It'll probably be 5 to 10. I don't know. But I mean,
I have no idea. They have some work that was done if they trust the AT&T, some, at least some of the AT&T structural analysis.
Okay.
It might make it easier for them.
Yeah. So do we have to do a resolution to say that?
But we don't have an up to number because she hasn't, Carmella hasn't come back to us. That's what I requested is, can you give us a range that this might cost?
Mm-hmm.
She said she doesn't know. So I don't know how we would make a resolution to pay
until
for this.
Until we hear from her again. Right.
Yeah, but
is that another 2 weeks?
So what could we do to speed that up?
Carmella got an urgent email from AT&T today about this subject.
Okay.
She spoke with you. She spoke with me. She suggested a structural engineer. I agree totally. How fast could it be done, depending on what it would cost? And the structural engineer is just not going to show up tomorrow, you know. So AT&T is the one who is really pressing the case here.
All right. We have a couple weeks between this and the, this meeting and the next one, or is it two weeks? Okay.
Normal.
So probably within the next three or four days, we should have estimates from French and Perel and the tank industry.
And then we can possibly put a resolution on for the next meeting.
For the next meeting.
So this week, Carmella has something to say to these AT&T.
That's
right. They're pressing her. They really are.
Yeah.
So, okay,
so I just want to make sure we're all in agreement that that may be a cost that we have to bear some of the cost of. But we certainly don't want the water tower falling down.
Especially me. Maybe Michael. The closest to it.
To the water tower,
falls.
Oh, yeah. I see the water. Several times I've alerted everybody when there was water coming out.
I just wanted to fall off.
I really don't care.
We're Luke's house.
Downhill.
So I just wanted to get the sense of the council on that. And I don't think I don't hear any objections on.
Why do you think I'm concerned about the sewers?
Hiring a consultant. The second thing under finance was Roberts Engineering letter dated February 11th. And we took a look, and I can't remember whether I generated this or somebody else did, but because we have four projects going, I thought, I wonder if we can combine projects. We're looking at combining the Farm Lane and School Lane projects. School Lane is the most recent grant that I think we got, and then there's Farm Lane before that.
Yes.
But she estimates $5,000 in engineering cost savings if we combine both projects and do the engineering of both simultaneously, and approximately $100,000 in construction cost savings, because when you bring in all that heavy equipment, it'd be great if you could just do one side of the road and go over to the other side of the road while you have the equipment and the crews there and everything.
It should be less expensive.
Yeah, so she's looking at a pretty good cost savings there, and there could be cost savings involved with the bonding of it, too, since it could all be bonded under one bond. So, I wanted to get the council's input on that and get that on the record.
I certainly would approve of that.
Yeah.
We do
need to take some action to investigate whether or not what the condition of the sewer lines and the sewer mains are on School Lane. Because we don't actually know. Part of School Lane may have been replaced, the sewer lines may have been replaced a while ago with PVC or some other type of material. But Nevertheless, both sides of the road probably should be televised and inspected to see what condition they're in, to see if we want to replace sewer lines there. School Lane is a pretty short run. Sewer main replacement is not very expensive. Comparatively with water main. So we're going to ask, or we need a resolution to ask Mike Lyons to televise it, or whoever can televise it.
Mike doesn't necessarily televise. We had a great deal from East Windsor where they came and they televised Homestead and Elm and Cedar, I believe it was. I'm still curious what it would cost to get them to come and to televise the whole town, to tell you the truth.
Would you want to talk to Rich?
Yeah. Okay. Just because, that way we would have a complete map of the town.
Right.
I met with Janice Mirnoff
almost a year ago and asked her if we could possibly have some shared services with that. And she was very nice and never responded. I mean, I met with her in person, but she never got back to me, and when I would call.
Well, this is a matter of, like, I want you to do something, what would it cost? So maybe she'll work with something like that. I don't know. Mm. I have no idea. It's a transactional thing.
Was it East Windsor?
But wherever we get it televised from, I think we should televise as soon as possible so that we know whether or not we would like to replace those. Carmella should review it.
I gave you the one color-coded map that I've got, and I'd have to confirm it. But the north side of School Lane seems to have PVC already,
yes,
which means that it was done the past 40 years at least. And the other side is all original, it seems like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we need,
we should have confirmation.
Yeah, we should do both sides just to
there's
be
there's
sure.
There's one quick way to confirm, and Mike Lyons might be able to do this. You lift the manhole cover and you look down to where the pipes come in and out. If they're white, they're PVC. If they're not, they're not PVC.
Okay.
So Mike, you know, I'll speak to him about doing that, but that's just a cursory view of what it is, you know.
Okay.
But I will try calling Rich Brand also.
Okay, great.
If he wants to get involved.
And just to take a quick look at the February 11 letter, which you should have a copy of, this is just the engineering costs, the engineering fees for Farm Lane and School Lane, and for School Lane and Farm Lane combined. And it just shows what it would cost if we did them as separate projects, school and farm, and then School Lane plus Farm Lane. That's engineering fees only. That doesn't include materials and construction costs. So just read
she
through that.
She tells us that she's going to save $100,000
on
engineering. That's a potload of money.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's just on engineering?
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
$100,000 is.
$100,000 would be construction costs from bringing the one construction crew, one.
Still a lot of money.
There's $5,000 in engineering.
Yeah, $5,000 in engineering.
Yeah.
But she wants us to authorize this, to get the televised inspection of the sewer lines.
Well, we can't authorize until we know what it's going to cost, or where are we at there?
What, is the sewer lines?
Yeah.
No, I think we can authorize not to exceed if we want to do not to exceed.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a short run, I would say, 2,000
school,
or something.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay, just for School Lane.
What was charged for when they videotaped
Homestead? Homestead? They comped us.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
They did three times the length of School Lane, two times the length of School Lane for.
School Lane is pretty tiny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
well, if nothing else, we could have Mike lift the manhole covers and tell if it's a
PVC or not.
That's
all you need to find out is whether it's plastic or not. I mean, that'll get you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even plastic could be disjointed or broken or something.
Well,
like
assuming
that
it's.
We may as well review the whole thing. It's just two little sections of the road, you know. That's my thinking on it, but.
Yeah, I mean,
just to make sure.
I would say if it doesn't look like plastic, then do the sewer line on School Lane.
Yeah.
I think we need to videotape so we can make a sound judgment.
Yeah, videotape and let Carmella look at the videotape of both sides of School Lane and then say, okay, one side looks good, the other side we need to replace, or both.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I also gave Carmela, she gave me VHS tapes of televising of sewers in town here.
Yeah.
I made DVDs. Yeah, I made DVDs for her, so she's got that. So I can combine those with the old maps that I've got and get more of a realistic idea of what's going on, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah, we want to update maps as we go along.
Do we want to pass a resolution tonight authorizing the videotaping?
Well, and authorizing her to combine the projects for the cost savings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if we could do that, I don't know what wording.
We can memorialize the resolution at the next meeting.
Yeah.
What do you suggest?
That works.
Yep. And we might know what it would cost to do School Lane and or the entire town by that, too.
All right. So we'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting. Okay. Authorize her to do that.
We just don't have figures, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, we need numbers.
Figures, right?
I don't think there's anything else under finance. End of report.
Okay.
Just so I know, Greg, you'll put something together?
Yeah, so a resolution authorizing the engineer to combine the projects?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Are you authorizing this $161,000 for all of them?
$100,000
really
savings, right?
Well, that's the savings.
Yeah, for engineering costs, yep.
No, roadway and water sewer improvements.
Right. So two problems. So one, we don't have any place to authorize that expenditure of money at this moment.
Correct. There's no bond.
So there's no bond.
You really have to
and
go
two, you don't know if you're even doing the sewer to say that it's the full amount because you haven't televised the lines
right,
yet.
Correct.
So you're really looking at passing an oral resolution tonight to authorize the televising of the
sewer lines
that I can memorialize and send to Kathleen to send on to Mike Lyons. Is that who you mm-hmm. authorize?
Yes.
And with the copy to Carmela so she knows we're doing it.
Would you $2,500?
What?
Yeah.
Not to exceed?
We have to have an amount of money.
Yeah.
Can't just
exactly
be like
right.
Check.
Right.
Do you
that's
think
the
it
thing.
Would be there? Should we go 3,000?
Yeah, I was going to say 2,600.
Actually, Carmela's estimate to do what
is the guy going to have the truck out there in the next 2 weeks?
Carmela's estimate for what East Windsor did was 4,500.
And that's for Homestead?
Yep.
Which is much bigger. No more than three.
I don't know.
No, the part of Homestead that was done, they did that, and they did the did Elm and Cedar also, I think. So.
Well, so. Mike, can Mike do it? Does he have the equipment to do it?
No, he doesn't. He'd have to call somebody in. That's why I'm saying what he could do is lift the manhole covers and tell you what
to do. So why don't we take it this way?
Yeah.
Why don't we have the clerk email Carmela and say that the governing body is in favor of combining the projects?
Yep.
Then,
give us
and can you
that.
Get us a quote to tell we and in favor of televising the lines? And then we'll get a quote for the lines, and we'll have a resolution on at the next meeting. And then the person can be lined up
mm-hmm.
for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah,
because we really don't have any money to spend at this point.
Yeah, right.
Nor do we have an amount on the other thing that we need to spend. So, without those 2 months of money,
right.
we really can't do a resolution.
Also, we're talking farm also and. Farm has been partially redone with PVC also, so we don't really know which part. The water, she's talking water and sewer here,
mm-hmm.
so sewer is just a little thing. Water is like where the real money is. You know,
right.
So
within the next 2 weeks, we want to notify the engineer that she's proceeding as a combined project,
yeah.
which is a simple email from Kathleen to her.
Right.
And we need an amount of money to put in the resolution to authorize the televising so then you know what scope of project you're doing to get
right.
the other amount of money and what engineering it is.
Right. And in the meantime, we're talking about doing water anyway. Is that what we're... Well, then...
Yeah, we're going to do water.
Then why bother televising the sewer? If you're going to rip the water up, you're going to rip the sewer up, too. You're going to do the whole thing.
If it needs it, yeah.
Quarter of the price of the water is the sewer, you know, so...
Well, accept it.
Yeah, unless it turns out it doesn't
need it. If it turns out it doesn't need it, leave it alone. There'll be some cost savings.
Okay. So a letter to Carmela would be in order. I'll call Richie tomorrow.
Okay.
It's going to be a crazy couple of weeks.
You know, we just need, yeah. and then the clerk and I will have a resolution to mm-hmm. authorizing
right.
TV sewer lines.
Right.
But, you know, the projects, you need a bond in place.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Are we telling Bond Council that? Is that part of this as well?
You give them a range to the bond council? You can't
well,
do that?
Well, the thing is, you can't get televised the lines before we know what they're doing, so we don't know what the bond is. So step one, let's get a quote for televising the lines. It's only February. We got plenty of time.
Truthfully, to me, it's like if you
by the way, this project has to be awarded by, what, March 6,
2021. We have plenty of time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Okay, yeah. But to me, if you're going to redo the water lines,
but Carmelo wants to start ahead of time on the engineering, and that's the whole goal here.
Okay.
Just to get the answer.
That's true, but we need the bond in place for her to.
So we'll get the right.
All right. Step one, how much does it cost to TV the lines so that we know what we need to replace?
Okay.
That's it.
That's it. One step at a time.
Yeah.
Got it.
I also read through that AT&T lease while you guys were discussing that. And so they're charged with providing the engineer's report. So do they give us an engineer's report on the tower?
Yeah, but
the problem is because when you have the T-Mobile equipment, no one really knows.
Yes.
Yeah, and
right.
I think we should have.
So I don't think we're going to be able to get the money back from them for that.
If we have our own engineer coming.
Right.
Yeah. T-Mobile might say okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have to get their stuff approved to go up there as well. So we maybe have them a little bit more of a hook.
Yep.
I believe there was an escrow that was posted in connection with that lease.
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
For precisely this reason, so maybe you can take it from the escrow. Okay. We'll figure that out.
And in the future, I think we should add to the lease that any changes will be approved only on after we've
But it's not,
we've looked at it.
I think it's a good idea, but it's extremely impractical in the real world, like in a practical setting, because you're basically going to say to a carrier, hey, we're going to lease you this space, but we might add other people later, and then we're going to come back to you and ask you for the engineering fees to add these other people so we can make more money, and they're never going to agree to that. That's why it's not in there to begin with. So it's not like someone made a mistake prior. Like, no one would ever agree to that as a carrier, so your prior lawyer wasn't able to get that for you either. That's why we're here we are now. And the best they could do was having them provide a structural report every 5 years or upon them doing something exclusive to their own, which they've done, and I think they gave us a report and said everything's fine. It's the T-Mobile edition, as I understand it, that's causing the question in Carmelo's mind,
but
which is really the landlord's problem. It's not really the tenant's problem. Yeah,
but now the tenant wants to change the room that they rented for us structurally so it can hold more, so they can put a water bed in. How's that? Okay.
Right. Well, they would have to. That's them changing their equipment. I guess it's a gray area. I guess my point is, I'm not sure I can get them to pay for it.
Right.
I know we took on an escrow in T-Mobile because
we don't know what the cost.
Yeah, we don't know what the cost.
It can't be that expensive. It's just metal and bolts.
It's going to be a little bit. But we need to know whether other people, not their own people, think this is okay. And we also need to know that it's okay with T-Mobile what they're going to change around. Just electronically, even if you aim an antenna over here and you have one going this way, they're going to interfere with each other. T-Mobile was happy with what they saw, so we need somebody in between to make sure it's okay with both of them.
Yeah, we're not. Asking them to reinvent the wheel.
No.
We're just giving them. What we have to do is give them AT&T's changes or whatever it is that they're going to do.
Right.
And let them either approve it or say this is dangerous. That's all.
Oh yeah,
This is not a total new engineering job from the get-go. That shouldn't be too expensive, even if we have to pay for it.
So
hold on.
No matter what, we have to pay for it.
Well, yeah, but it shouldn't be too expensive.
Done,
is what I'm
so
saying.
So whether we pay or they pay.
Yeah.
So we should have.
We should have our own independence so we know
that
the tower is not going to collapse in the morning.
I don't want their engineers, I want our engineers.
Exactly.
See, I don't want Michael's house to be inundated.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I said,
right.
Is it going to be Michael or Luke?
Well, mine won't because I'm at the bottom of the hill. I'll be gone by then.
So we'll get Carmela, her two engineers. She'll get back to us as approximately what they will charge.
Right.
And then that person has to see the T-Mobile plan of attack.
I would think they would want to, to be able to.
Carmela has.
Yeah.
Oh, it's attached to the lease.
Yeah.
I wrote that one. The T-Mobile one. The AT&T one I did not. That predates me.
Right.
Okay.
But there's
so she should have the lease on that one, too.
I just read the whole thing.
Do you have the diagram?
So 2015.
Okay. All right, so
it was before 2015. That was a renewal of the lease. The original was back in 05 or something like that, I think.
Yeah, but the one that governs is the most recent one that was resigned and renewed 10 years later.
Okay. All right, so Carmelo will talk to these guys. They'll give us some numbers.
They'll give us
it from there.
Right. Yeah. Sounds good. End of report.
Councilman Trammell.
Utilities. We've talked about the water tower. That's a utility. So this past year or so, there have been sewer blockages randomly around town. And we've been kind of nice about it, a little wishy-washy. We're going to pay, they're going to pay, all of this. I started researching this, and what I've come to find is that I don't know of any town that pays for sewer blockages. The only sewer blockage that towns pay for is the mains. When somebody gets a blockage, we call Mike. He goes, Mike Lyons, sewer, the wastewater guy, he goes to the house. He gets the lowdown. Then he opens up a manhole cover on one side of the house on the street and then one on the other side. If the sewer is flowing, if the liquid is flowing there, then it's not mains. It's not the mains. We've had one incidence of that in the past 5 years. Okay. What you're missing is that people are complaining and they're thinking that we should pay for the plumbers and the televisions.
So this entire time that we've been talking about all these wipes, it's been in the laterals?
Yes.
It's not in the mains?
Not in the mains.
Not in the mains. It hasn't been in the mains.
I didn't realize that.
And we're also finding out that it might not necessarily be wipes. It might just be regular sized pieces of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Okay. They look the same. But I know I saw a commercial the other day.
I thought this was in the muffin.
Muncher.
Well, that's on the other side. So, yes, we have had incidences of stuff going into the motors and messing with them. But we also have incidences of even if...
Yeah, but that's the homeowner's problem.
That's where we're at now. Is it our problem?
Well, where we're at now, that's where we've always been.
Man, I got yelled at.
So, in addition to trees, we go out and we take care of people's plumbing.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Well,
so I'm suggesting that we have an ordinance, very plain and simple, that says if your sewer is blocked, call a plumber. If we come out and look into the mains, if the mains is flowing, then the sewer is not blocked on the town's part. The town is responsible for the mains. You are responsible for the laterals. Even at the point where the lateral meets the main,
well, you got to be careful about that.
Why?
Okay.
Because you don't want people digging up your road without your supervision. Because the main's in the street.
I understand that. Okay.
So a lot of towns will do it to the clean out of the property line because they don't want, because then everyone's got to come in for a road opening permit, and then you don't, you got 19 different contractors working on your roads.
But a lot of these houses don't have clean outs.
Well, that's their problem.
Okay. Okay, so, and the ones that do, what they tend to do is they dig at the property line, and they tie the clean out into the lateral, the sublateral, as they would call it, that goes to the mains.
Okay. Well, that's better than digging up the road.
Exactly. Right. And if there's a clean out there, then if somebody came with a snake, all they got to do is that last 25, 35 feet, and it's okay. So, but we should not, as a town, be responsible for people's laterals. I mean, I don't want to be the bad guy here, but this time I will. Okay. We should not be responsible. Even if their friend, the plumber, says it's the town's responsibility, we should not be responsible.
He's not the boss. We are.
We've been kind of wishy-washy about this, but I've watched it go on for too long.
Well, because in this town, we've always traditionally done whatever we can for the residents. You know,
okay.
I can tell you.
Okay.
I can tell you.
I'm like, okay.
No, I'm saying that, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to.
You know, I was not president some of this stuff, but my neighbor across the street, he and his wife came to the meeting and they were crying, no, it's blocked and we can't use the toilet, we can't do this, we can't do that. And you know, the next thing I know, there's a guy digging up literally a half of their front of their property, and now they've got two clean-out pipes. You know why? Because they've got an RV, and they dump their sewage when they come home, and the regular standard one doesn't fit.
And the town paid, right?
Paid to the nose.
Yeah.
And when I told the council person that drove that train, I said, "You're not supposed to do this." She says, "Ah, we did it. So what?"
So we've done it a few times since I've been in this occupation, and it just seems to me that it's not right, you know.
No, we've been informed by our CFO that we just can't continue to pay for,
don't necessarily have to.
Because we're going to go broke. So.
This is another thing, technically, that we're seeing, too. The houses lately that have had these problems. And another thing is that these dual houses sometimes have a single lateral. The two houses tie together, and then the lateral.
The two-story houses
in
Roosevelt that are attached have a single.
Okay. But what's happening also is when the pipes do not have water in them for a while, whatever residue is lying on the bottom of the pipe cakes up and scales. And once it scales, it catches stuff, and it's easier for the line to get clogged. So if the house has been sitting there for a year before somebody moves into it, and they start pushing stuff, the water's moving through again, things are going to start caking up. Even the scales could lift off and travel down and block. So what can we do about that? There's nothing we can do about that.
It's bad luck.
It's I don't know that we should do a resolution or an ordinance, but my feeling is that the town should have a codified ordinance after a while, so you can raise your hands and say it's the law, we don't deal with this, call a plumber,
and be prepared to pay for it.
Put that on.
Right. So what are things in other towns, Greg? Do we have, what do they do in other towns?
In Red Bank, you're responsible. Red Bank and Allentown, you're responsible to the Maine.
To the Maine.
Bradley Beach, you're responsible to Stopcock and the clean out.
In Princeton, you are too, by the way.
Clean out by the street.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of preference. I think, honestly, in Allentown, they've had more problems. Red Bank's different because.
The city almost, yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
They have conduit pipes, they have utility pipes and meter pits and all kinds of other stuff that makes it different.
Yeah.
But the other two towns, I mean, it's just a matter of preference. I mean, Allentown has had issues where people have idiots digging up the road because they're responsible all the way back to the Maine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that has happened. So you really have to be thoughtful. I mean, look, you have to mesh these policies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys keep going, you guys are doing all these roads, mm-hmm. and smartly you're doing all the pipes under the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And the stubs are being left at the property line, presumably.
The cleanouts, yeah.
So the cleanouts stubs, and all the stubs and everything are all being left at the property line. So if you know that the policy of the town is to go put everything brand new to the property line,
right.
Most people are just hooking up their old service back to your pipes
when
you're doing these roads.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay, it stands to reason that you don't want people digging up your road if that's the policy of the town. If you're going to leave it all at the property line, I would say homeowner's responsibility starts at the property line. Because the chances of getting a clog in the last 3 feet of pipe in the roadway is not a lot. I read the whole email and diagram. It's because it's a 90-degree turn. So it's scaled and then rags caught on it.
Exactly, yeah.
So, okay. I mean, it's not like a straight run of pipe. So that's if you ask me what my recommendation was, it'd be the town's responsible from the stopcock for the water and the clean out back.
But if there is
on the property line.
If there is no clean out on
then I'd say the property line.
Then the property line.
Or just say the property line across the board, wherever the clean out is.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when you come do a public works project, you're not going across that property line.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose not to go up to the property line if you want and leave it out in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the plans I saw for everything else is to leave the stubs at the property line. So I would probably do property line if that's your policy across the board. Then you won't have a problem for the next 100 years after you've done all the
pipe. So that's when we're putting new laterals in from the mains to the property line, and that's where it starts and stops.
What I'm saying is if you establish the rule now as the property line.
But where's the property line? Tell me.
Street.
Curb. It's curb typically.
At the owner's, at the house site. curb.
Typically, your right-of-way is 50 feet. Your partway is usually 30. It's usually a 10-foot strip. On most towns, you'll have the curb line, 2-foot turf strip, 4 feet of sidewalk, and then 2 more feet to the property line. Most towns put their cleanouts in that 2-foot turf strip between the curb line and the sidewalk.
Right.
And a lot of towns will put their water meters back there. Most of our water meters are a bit further back.
Right.
Like by the property lines. And some towns, as you said, Bill, their responsibility, a lot of towns will stop their responsibility at the curb stop, although, you know, the older, more normal thing was to stop the response for the water mains, to stop the town's responsibility at the corporation, which is about where you tap it. You have a valve at the main, and you typically have a valve, I think, in a lot of our situations, right by the meter.
In the meter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're right in the meter.
Sometimes
the house I have has a valve in front and then the meter.
Yep.
So it could, that could go either way as the services got.
But on the sewer line itself, some of the houses here don't have the clean out by the curb.
I don't have a clean out. A lot of places where it had terracotta.
Right.
You don't have anybody who has not changed their water system, their sewer system.
Yeah, that's
terracotta from the house.
Plastic or whatever.
Yeah.
Will not have a clean out.
Right.
I have a clean out. I have two of them. One at the top next to the house, and then I have one at the bottom of the hill.
How do we
want
to address this?
What?
Well, we have older houses here with terracotta service from the house to the mains, actually.
But it's not a matter of a single house. You have to establish a policy across the board for the town. You guys are focused way too much on one house.
What I'm talking about.
You got to look. So if your policy as a town is to replace the pipes in the middle of the road and leave stubs at X, mm-hmm. then X is the place. Because no matter what anyone's circumstances are going forward, you're always going to come back and do the same thing in the middle of the street, and then that's the line, and that's our pipe that we put in there that we know what it is, and we know what it's we're dealing with, and the rest of it is yours, whether the clean-out's up in front of your house, down here, down there.
But that's for new service. When we redo the services on Homestead, we'll do that, let's say. But for the houses that we have not gotten to, with old service all the way through, no clean-outs at all, maybe. What do we do then? I'm saying
you make the rule the same.
I think
you make the rule the same for everyone.
To the property line.
Right. You can't just say like, "Oh, well, you have a terracotta pipe, so we're going to make our responsibility all the way up to your house line." Like, you can't do that.
No,
you got
to
make the same line everywhere.
To the mains in the street. If they're clogged and it's somewhere between the house and the street, and the plumber says, "Oh, it's 100 feet, so it's the street or roots where you meet the street there," what do we do then? You know, this is a service we have not redone.
Is it inside or outside X?
X is 10 feet from the street, 2 feet from the street, or from the main.
What does it matter?
The sidewalk. So that's why I'm saying we should establish something that says all the way to the mains.
That's exactly what we should do.
Okay.
Otherwise,
how do you differentiate?
If you start to screw around with this thing, you're going to be here for another year. And people are going to
because curb line.
And we're going to end up paying for it. I assure you.
Curb line is the easiest.
Huh? And we have been.
You don't have to get into arguments about where the property line is or anything. There's the curb. Is it? Where's the clock? You know, it's easy.
It's got to be right to
right?
the main.
I mean, that's
right
the easiest
the
way to do it.
But if you do that, then someone has a clock. 2 years after you repave the brand new road and sidewalk and curb out in front of their house, they're
going
to have to dig straight.
No, they're not going to do that.
No, we're going to put a clean out there when we redo the sewer lines on the streets that we're doing. You know, so there will be from the mains to the curb, like a clean out. Okay, and it could be terracotta all the way back to the house. I don't care. You know, but for us, it's easy to snake through and do a clean out. As opposed to, there's no clean-out in the house. How do you get there, you know?
And they're the ones that are having the problems.
They're the ones that are having the problems, right.
certainly. Especially the two-story houses. I had a neighbor who was an artist. Jimmy, one day, all of a sudden, they opened up, they had a clean-out. Mm-hmm. They opened it up and...
Volcano,
right. Literally. Mm-hmm. And it was all his wife's, because he was using them to clean his brushes.
And all of that paint will lie at the bottom of the pipes.
We didn't pay for that.
And
that was right on their property.
Yeah, they lift up. So it's like, but this is a map of two of the houses that just got done. One, and they're combined. You know, one had a new service and the other one did not. And the one with the new service with the PVC was the one that failed, strangely enough. And as they met and went out to the street, the person with the old terracotta did not have a problem, but then there was gurgling. All of a sudden, her house wasn't backing up, but it was starting to react to the other.
So what do you want me to write in the ordinance?
I was going to say, can we come to a consensus
to the
about
curb
exactly
line? Why not to the curb
to
line? Because it's easy to verify. Here's the curb.
Okay.
Yeah, but how do you know where the markage is?
You know.
It doesn't matter.
They televise it. So there was, and I passed this out a while back, I'll have Anna email it to everybody. George and Toby wrote up this contract, and it says, you got to televise it, and if you televise it and we decide as a council that, okay, it's on your property or on our property, we'll pay or you'll pay. The televising is an extra $500. Easily, if not $1,000.
The homeowner pays for that, right?
Well, he just said no. It depends.
So they pay for it, then they bring it to us, and then we pay for it. This has happened since
I've
been
here. Why should we pay for that?
No.
If it is found out that, okay, there are routes where the sewer meets the mains or whatever after it's televised.
I can get my cousin Vinny out.
Yeah.
To do it, and he's going to give me a break. It's only going to be $1,500.
I understand.
And the borough's going to pay for it?
And that's
I don't think so.
What's happened in a couple of cases.
So we need some sort of a code that says this is how we feel about it. This is what the town is going to do.
Yeah.
We can't just let it be loose like this.
It's really very
simple. And how do you know if it's a curb? Then you televise it.
Then you're going to go through all that? Isn't it easier to just make the ordinance go right to the main?
Right to the main.
And that's it. It's yours. You fix it.
But then, like Greg said, you run the risk of they're digging up the road, right? I mean, if they're responsible...
They don't have to dig up the road. All they have to do is dig up to the curb line.
To the curb line and put in
and
a...
And put a clean out there tied into the terracotta.
And then do it.
So then who's responsible from there to the pipe? That's exactly my point. If you, no one's going to want to dig the road up. So what you're going to get is you're going to get a brand new main in the road, and you're going to get a brand new service line on the customer's property, and a 100-year-old piece of 3-foot pipe in between, if you do it the way you're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
But you can clean that 3 feet out. You can clean that 3 feet out easily enough, you know. Okay, this is something we really have to consider. One way or the other.
I think your engineer has.
Yeah, and I think tonight we should.
Well, that's for new service, yeah. But for all these old services, there's no answer.
But in other towns, they don't pay, Joe. No, the towns don't pay. And George Lyon has told us we cannot continue to pay.
Well, then it's to the mains.
To the main.
And it's to the mains. Okay, it's all yours.
You're telling me Allentown goes to the main, and Red Bank, you said, goes to the main. I know Princeton goes to the main. Well, what are we? We're not reinventing the wheel.
To the main. Homeowner responsibility to the
From the house to the main.
Mike, do you think that's... Why do you prefer the curb?
Because it's easy. Curb's right there.
No.
Yeah, but if there's no clean out on the curb...
Yeah, I understand that. Hey, you know...
Let me ask you something.
You want to take a vote?
The average clean out person cannot start from the house and has enough grinding power and length to go all the way to the main.
125 feet, that's possible.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they bring in the special equipment, it's even more expensive, and the meter is running.
Okay.
Homeowner responsibility to the main.
We're going to email the old contract that George and Toby did.
To the main, yes.
We should talk about this again.
No, I think we need to talk about it so much.
Then it's to the main. Frankly, after a year and a half, I can't believe we don't have this figured out. Alas.
We always are, so what the hell's the difference?
Cut my salary in here.
So what are we talking about, drafting an ordinance for this?
Yeah. And clarify section 15, 9, 10, and 11.
Okay.
The owner of any property shall, at the owner's own expense and cost, maintain all service pipes, stopcocks, curb boxes, and other appliances and purposes in good working order and repair, protect them from freezing. And then I'll add on clogs, et cetera, the Allentown language back to the main.
Okay. And you send that out to us, and we'll vote on it next time as a first reading?
Yeah.
Sure.
This will be an ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good. Cool.
What are you talking about, though, Toby and George,
with the televising, they used to require that the homeowner televise.
No, there was like this contract that Nancy pulled.
It was
out.
A piece of paper that they. Like,
it's because they would enforce the rule that wherever the clog was, if it was in our pipes or the homeowner's pipes, it's that person's responsibility, like we're talking about.
Right.
So you have to then, once you establish where the line is, then you have to establish when you have these individual circumstances where the clog is. And so you can do that through the measurements on your plans and on the snake that the plumber brings in your house.
And on the video.
And then, and if that wasn't agreed with or it was fairly obvious, like there was three houses with a stop and then we jetted the main and wherever the problem was, then we would reimburse the homeowner if it was our problem.
Reimburse plus the
or we would get Lyons and then to come out or whoever Toby to go out and look at it or get someone else to get a second opinion to see if we would pay for it and the person would take the risk of videoing it.
Which
you could still continue to do. It sounds like the homeowner takes the risk to prove that it's theirs, The problem with the issue we're having is with the line. Where's the line?
Who's responsible to what point? This is another thing, too. If there's a blockage, I hate to just talk about wastewater all this time, but this is an important thing at this point. If there's a blockage and you go in and you try to snake it, sometimes you're pushing it further down the pike. All right? And then you have somebody else like this
one.
And
if you push it farther,
came in again, and they came and they pushed it again, and it went further down the pike. And then finally it went whoosh, it was gone. So now it's our problem, it's in the mains. But this hairball or whatever was in there is there until somebody finally freed it. And now everything is working. But, you know, who's responsible for all the payments of all these different plumbers and even our guy, we pay him to show up and oversee this while it's going on. Who pays for all of this? This is why I'm
saying you guys have for years.
Yes.
On and off.
So
on and off.
Now
there are cases
you're
going to
shut it off like a light
switch. We didn't. Right.
So. We'll see what happens.
It's been kind of half and half.
It depends on how much the governing body wanted to put their back up.
And how much the consumer wants to put their back up, you know.
I don't care about the consumer. They pay for it. It's their service.
We care about them.
Okay, let's move on from this. Okay.
So, Ray, the attorney will draft a resolution.
And we'll send out these George and Toby things again, just so everybody can know what's going on, what used to happen here.
Is there any way that we could televise a line if somebody calls and says, we think it's a clog and it's on your side, and charge the homeowner if it's on their side?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mike owns a snake.
I'm pretty sure
Mike Lyons has a snake. We could measure it out.
Yeah, but he doesn't really, it's not his job is to snake out people.
Oh, I know.
You know, yeah. And he doesn't have televising. He's got televising that's like 6 feet long, but that's it. You know,
But I don't want to have all these $500 bills, you know, for televising a line.
That's why we're avoiding.
That's why we're talking about doing something. Right?
By doing what we're doing, we are taking the monkey off our back.
And we'll discuss this the next time, and Greg, you'll come up with at least something that we can look at and try to figure this out, you know. So whether we modify it after...
Homeowner responsibility for the main back for clogs and replacement of the service line, sewer service line.
Right.
And I'll make a clarify for the water as well.
Okay. To the service line.
To the main.
To the main line.
Yes. Yeah.
Does that include replacement? Like, the pipe breaks
on their property?
No, under the street.
That's us.
Under the street.
So it's a structural problem.
No, the service line breaks under the street, under what we were talking about, the homeowner's digging up the street to fix it.
Can they be responsible for clogs up to the main?
That's exactly. That's
for structural failures.
What he's saying, that's a very interesting point.
I mean, what's the difference between a root clog, a non-clog, another clog, the terracotta pipe deforming and then getting clogged, and what's the difference? Mm-hmm. That's why everyone just sets a line. Problems in this pipe, it's our problem. Problems in that pipe, it's your problem.
Right. I don't think we have had a problem from the curb to the mains. Not to my knowledge. It's always been on somebody's lawn.
We've had mains break.
Mains break
with
mains.
Sewer line mains break.
Well, that's the mains.
Yeah.
And in front of Eric's house.
Yeah, right.
Okay. We opened up the sewer covers, the manholes. The water was almost up to the street. That's us.
Yeah, okay.
And we called Jet 24 or Route 24 in, and they came and they went from the downside and they boomed and then it all went. But that was us.
Yeah.
Okay, there was something big enough that it filled the 8-inch pipe.
Yeah.
That's our pipes are the 8-inch pipes. Out of the houses are little 4-inch pipes.
Yeah.
So there was enough stuff for what it's worth that it clogged us. We paid for that. That's the mains. Anytime it's the mains, we covered. That's why they open up the sewer, the manhole covers, and look.
On both sides.
On both sides of the property. Right. And if the water's flowing,
then it's not us.
It's not us.
And what's
they call it, it's charged. The water was like 4 feet up in the air. It was charged. So when they open that up,
everything
went cleaned
fast.
Yeah.
So once we pass this, do we have any obligation, or do you think we should put something out to homeowners saying,
yeah,
here's the way this works. If
that's
you have
right.
a problem,
don't call us. We'll call you.
Call the plumber.
Here's what we'll pay for. Here's what you pay for.
Call the plumber.
I could put it in the garbage.
Yeah, and it fits in with our wipes kind of issue, too.
That's right. That's
you know, you want to prevent costs.
Yes.
That's what's triggering right. this whole discussion.
Exactly.
Is the wipes.
Right. Okay. So I think then we should do some PR.
The chances unless a child throws a big
board
in there or something,
I don't want homeowners to say, but wait a second, you paid for so
and
so's
2 years
ago.
That's
happening,
right?
That's where
and
we're at.
You're showing a preference for them. Right. You don't like me because I came out and said something politically.
2 years ago,
it wasn't
this council, it was somebody else.
So
right.
Once you have the ordinance in place and it's, adopted.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. From that adoption date forward.
That's what we need.
And that's exactly what it is.
So, Greg, at Allentown, is there an ordinance?
Yeah.
He just read it to you.
I wrote it.
Okay.
But
that's to the curb.
So you're reinventing
the main.
Reinventing
the main.
The main.
To the main.
Boom.
Theirs is to the main, too.
To the mains, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. The internet research that I've done, it was always to the mains. I'm like,
are we finished with the main discussion here?
Remember the main.
Remember the main. All right, that's it for me. I didn't mean to take
up. You did take up a lot
of you took up some of this time, too.
Actually, at some point in the piggybacking on that, Kathleen and I were looking up some fees for things that I think haven't been changed, and I couldn't even estimate how long it's been.
$1.29.
$2.
$2.
Yeah,
$2.
So
$2.
What was the
$2?
Really?
No, one was $1.
Oh, business license.
Talking
yeah,
of finance.
Like, yeah, the license was updated in 16,
listen,
but the business license is $2.
Right.
So, and given that actually we might be.
There are three places in town you can have a business.
But still, and one should be opening, so we should really revisit that and update. Not that I want it to be expensive for anyone or gouge anyone, but $1
A dollar ain't a dollar no more.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So maybe by the next meeting
The school lease is only $1.
That's true. I don't think they pay.
But we haven't paid it for a while. We have to pay that school lease.
We did. We paid it tonight.
$59.
$59, okay. Going back 59 years.
Bill here.
Did you go to the general fund?
So by the way,
Bill Michael. He's
such, such a deal.
Can you finance do that?
What?
Look at the, these old fees that really need to be updated. Okay, report of borough officials. Mike, do you have anything?
Okay, do you want me to talk about the meeting we had?
Well, that's not really...
Well...
It's a taxpayer...
I was there in my multiple capacities, so...
Okay.
Well, okay, we had a meeting about a week or so ago about Mike and Peggy representing the borough. I was there as a school board member, also as a historian, so on, representing both sides in a way. Not that they're sides, but both interests. And Katie Hamilton was there, and I was there, Dave Shembury, and John Ord, representing the school board. So we were just, I was basically, you know, we were discussing it, and, you know, I was able to update some as to what's going on with the legislature, with the bills. Where we are at the moment... With the school, yeah, with the preservation of the school. We have the legislation which was introduced by Senator Thompson and is co-primed by Senator Cruz Perez and also co-sponsored by Senator Turner in the Senate. And then in the Assembly, the only sponsors are our two legislators, Assemblyman Dancer and Assemblyman Clifton. So that's where we are at the moment. Dancer has asked that we try to get some more Democratic sponsors in the Assembly, so with the hope that because he needs that for it to get anywhere in the Assembly. So, and I've been trying to do that, and Peggy and Mike are trying to do that. So we're trying to approach different people who, you know, we hope might be willing to sign on. The Senate bill, you know, Senator Cruz Perez has been very active in trying to move this thing, and she spoke to Senator Ruiz, who's the chair of the Senate Education Committee, who agreed that it would be posted at the next meeting of the Senate Education Committee, which I believe will be on September 16th. March 16th.
Okay. School year.
The side of the year. March 16th. It'll be on March 16th. And then Senate President Sweeney agreed that once it got out of the Assembly Senate Education Committee, that it would be posted in the Senate. So it looks like we're fine in the Senate. Now the question is what's going to happen in the Assembly. So we'll have to concentrate on getting some Democratic sponsors in the Assembly who will really try to do something with it.
In your experience, do the Assembly people talk to each other across party lines? And
oh,
stuff?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, they talk to each other across party lines. They understand that, and you know, that's just the way it is, that they need to have some Democratic sponsors. So all people have to do is contact Dancer and say they want to be on the bill, and put the form in, and they'll be on the bill. So
we kind of have a crazy situation because we have Republican representatives trying to help us, and the Democratic
representatives. Yeah, we're trying to. The Democrats are the ones who don't seem to. So far, the Monmouth Democrats haven't shown any great interest in helping us.
I know.
Right, so we're trying to get the Republicans. Have been really very good.
Shame on them.
Yeah, you know, we've been with all 80 years of supporting the Democratic Party in this town. You know, I think they show some gratitude for being the most Democratic town in the county.
The highest voter turnout.
The highest voter turnout, and the most Democratic town in the state.
The whole town here.
Yeah,
I hope they all lose by 59 votes.
Nice.
Yeah. So the other thing that's official is the. You know, the Environmental Commission, we're going to discuss the bamboo orders. There were just a couple of points that were made at the meeting. One, the compliance date that some people thought that allowing only 10 days was, given the scope of the thing that would be needed, but 30 days might be more reasonable. So, you know, it's not like something that's going to change overnight. So you can give it 30 days and they can get the equipment in or get somebody in who can fix it. So we're probably more realistic. Some of the concern, the fines were too large. We do have I was checking some of the other ordinances. On the ordinance about the maintenance of hedges, which is somewhat similar, it says you have anything within 10 feet of the road or 25 feet of a corner, the borough can require, it doesn't have to require, but if it's a public safety issue, can require them to cut it to no more than 2.5 feet, but there the fine is $500. And, you know, with a daily fine as well, so that would be a somewhat lower fine.
And then another question was asked with the draft ordinance that you had talks about a 10-foot buffer zone and what the basis for 10. Because what I've seen is that some of the things I've read, that the root system of the bamboo is generally about the same as the height of the bamboo. So mm-hmm. a smaller bamboo plant will have less of a root system. The taller they are, the more extensive the root systems are. So just the 10-foot might be arbitrary. And it's considering something that if people maintain them properly, there's some people they sometimes used as hedges. So you want that somewhat closer to the property, so maybe 5 feet would be more reasonable. If somebody has a reason 5 feet isn't good.
There's the consideration on a intersection.
Yeah, of course, but that's already covered. We already have that covered.
10-foot for there.
Well, that's right. But there it doesn't say you have to remove it. It just says you have to cut it to no more than 2.5 feet.
Right.
You have to maintain it. So it's a little different. It's not a question of eradicating it. It's just a matter of keeping it cut. Yeah. But it's similar. Exactly. It's a safety. And that's one of the things it says about a road. But the road, that wouldn't apply to the neighboring property. The question is keeping it far enough away from the neighboring property so that it's not going to make it retard the ability to migrate into the neighboring property. Yeah. So that's just one. Okay, so those were the thoughts on that, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Okay, we've come to old business, which is the bamboo ordinance.
Yeah, we just covered that.
Right.
Will we proceed with that as well? Or do you have
some more suggestions?
Provisions.
I think, I think what Mike was talking about, 10 days to 30 days would be appropriate.
Yeah, right. I think that might be
okay.
And 5 feet as opposed to 10 feet?
Yeah.
Right. And the fines.
And then $500 as opposed to $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so down to 500.
Otherwise, the ordinance would be quite good.
Or a dollar.
I'm sorry, what was the first issue?
The 10 days.
10-day notice to 30-day notice? Okay, right. So increasing.
Yeah.
Right.
And decrease the buffer zone to 10 to 5 feet?
Yeah, 10 down to 5. Okay.
The buffer zone, 10 feet down to 5 feet? Was that it?
Yeah.
But that was a particular concern. You saw this from Belmar, because, people are on top of each other, so if someone plants it right on the property line, you're not going to see it until it pops up in your yard. And people didn't want that, so they wanted the 10-foot warning. Here, there's a lot more space between structures, housing, patios, planters, koi ponds, things like that. Koi pond will drain real quick when the bamboo comes up through the bottom.
We're weeping willow for that matter, yeah.
I'm concerned with how we're going to enforce it for the preserve land when it goes on to borough property or state property.
I've got it back in my house, so I'm fine with it back there, but it is coming close to my property, so far I'm okay with it. Until it gets to my garden, and then I'm not.
Okay, new business, we sort of discussed
sewage.
Sorry about that. Anyone else would like to add?
Sorry about that.
We discussed two also.
Yeah, both one and two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Okay, I'm going to open public comment at
8:31.
I lost there myself.
Is there anyone from public who wants to comment?
Excuse me.
Just one final question. Where are we now with the bamboo? Are we going? Greg, you'll be preparing an ordinance for the next meeting?
Yeah, I was going to revise it with those three changes and then introduce next week.
Then we'll introduce it. Okay. She'll be able to advise the commission as well.
Are you guys meeting in between now and then? Or?
Not before the next council meeting, but before the next. Well, it's once a month, so it's
So with these
changes. I usually send it to Kathleen 1 minute before she leaves on Thursday.
Right.
she'll vouch for that.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, so back and break it.
So that's what you probably expected.
Very good.
What's the status of the tree ordinance?
Kathleen, he doesn't.
I thought the EC was looking at that.
Is the Environmental Commission still looking at the tree ordinance? Or?
Oh, we have been given the tree ordinance.
No. Remember, it's supposed to Michelle Donato.
And we followed up on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there one ready to go?
No, not yet, but
oh, boy. It's coming. Okay, that's not in my hopper.
Okay.
No, someone else's hopper. It's in Michelle Donato.
Oh, there you go.
So, Michael, if these three changes were incorporated into the ordinance, Environmental Committee would sign off.
The Environmental Commission would be okay with it, yeah.
Okay.
Those are the only points that we'll change.
Is that alive? I'm just curious. I can't remember. Is that alive in the winter? Or is that dying?
I'm sorry?
I can't remember.
It's alive.
It's
alive.
It's alive.
It's like an evergreen, yeah.
I have it in my backyard. It depends on the species, but usually the ones that are weaker or like have already like gone through their life cycle, the stalks die. They turn like it's like a lot like your grass. Yep. It's a grass.
Yes,
so
it is a grass. Yeah.
Some of it turns brown, and then some of it turns back green, and the ones that don't, you cut them down the next year.
Yeah,
that's
a planter. Yeah, according to the things that
spreads like wildfire.
About it, that if you think they recommend mowing it, then mowing it in the spring.
No, I provided you guys with an email update on the litigation, and that was all I had, so you guys can just read that.
Okay. So,
motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
So moved.
Hello.
I have a picture of you.
Hi. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, time out. 8:30.
Now. Don't leave. Don't leave. Everybody.